Well, as you heard, we've got a new series, and we're going to be spending the next 5 weeks, including today, in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It's the longest sermon recorded in Jesus' ministry, 111 verses, and it comes early in the ministry. And let me just show you kind of a context right before Matthew 5 on what it tells us. Late in chapter 4, it says this: Jesus was traveling throughout the region of Galilee. He was teaching in the synagogues. He was announcing the good news about the kingdom. And then you get to chapter 5, and if you have a Bible and it has a heading on it, maybe it may even have it, it's described as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount. And Luke has a big section of it talked about in chapter 6 of the book of Luke. And I had the privilege a few years ago to be there and see the site where they believe this sermon was delivered. Because what happened was, one time Jesus was between church services, between weekends, and he's walking along with his disciples, and so just stopped and he preached on a hillside. I saw the mount. I hate to disappoint you. It's probably about 300 feet tall. It really should be called the Sermon on the Mound, okay? Because it's a hill at best. But that's what it's called in your scriptures. We are going to refer to it in this series as a sermon about the good life. The good life. And that's a term, you may call it something different, but everybody wants it. You want the good. In Jesus' day, they wanted it. They wanted a good life. They wanted to get there. They wanted to be blessed. Everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to be happy. Everybody wants to be fulfilled. Everybody wants to have good fortune or good luck. Everybody wants it. But the question is, how do you get there? I mean, you say, man, we're getting there, but how do you get there? What is the path to the good life? And I've got to tell you, when I saw the title and I started thinking about it, I had a phrase run through my head, and I thought, I can't share about that because I've got to confess if I do. But so can I make a confession to you? Trust this is a safe group. Nobody shares this anywhere else. But I've got to admit, I grew up in church, and I've been a pastor most of my adult life, but I've got a confession to make. I love beer commercials. I do. I love the Budweiser, Clydesdales. I just love them. I have watched football games, even football games where the Patriots were playing, just so I could see the beer commercials, okay? I love the Miller Life commercials. I love the Magic Fridge. I love all those things. But I remember a series of commercials for a beer called Old Milwaukee beer, and that's the beer that made Milwaukee famous. For those of you who didn't know, Milwaukee was famous. And they would do a commercial where different things happening to a group there, and then they'd all have all this Old Milwaukee, and then the tagline at the end of the commercial was, "It doesn't get any better than this." And that's what we all want. We want it to be where it doesn't get any better than this. And the world says, well, we got some ideas about that. So the world says you get to the good life through power. If you can be in charge, if you can have power over your own life, if you can get elected into office, don't want to go there. If you can have all that happen, then you can get to the good life or prosperity. If you can have enough money, you say, well, money doesn't buy happiness. And you say, I'd like to have enough and try because maybe it would. Okay, so if you can have enough prosperity, or if you know the right people, right? It's not what you know, it's who you know. If you're connected to the right person or married to the right person or have the right relationship, get the right connections with the right people, or if you can just simply live at peace, if you can protect yourself from other folks, not have any conflict, the world says there's a path to the good life. And in Matthew 5, Jesus says, I've got a different path. Let's look at it. These are called in Scripture often the Beatitudes. Comes from the word blessing. And as I start reading here in a moment, Matthew 5, 3, it starts in this version, God blesses. You may have a version that says, blessed are. You may have a version that says, happy is. Same concept. God blesses those that are poor. and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble. You may have a version that says meek, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, because they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And that section is called the Beatitudes. It's the blessings. It's the passage on how you get to be happy. And we want to walk through this a little bit today. And first of all, I want to just jump in here on what Jesus is saying about this, but also the whole chapter. And the words is this. Jesus is saying, he said that the good life centered on him. Now, you've got to realize this. You're in the church today. Maybe you've been to church before. Maybe you're new to this thing called church. You've not heard very much about it, but most of us realize that church is probably about Jesus. But in Jesus' day, if I can say it this way, Jesus wasn't yet Jesus. He was just a guy from Nazareth with kind of a shady past because his mom had a kid and she wasn't married. And he'd started a ministry, but he had no following. He had his Instagram was very lightly followed. He had no Facebook friends. He was not anybody. And he started speaking in synagogues, and they said, "You're saying some interesting stuff." And then as he unpacks this, he's saying, "I'm going to tell you, everything before may have centered on somebody else. But from now on, the good life centers on me." Look at this, Matthew 5:11, a little bit reading on from the Beatitudes. "God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you." Notice this, I underlined it, he didn't. "Because you are whose followers?" "My followers." Now, who are you? You're saying there's a blessing on me if I follow you and people mistreat you? Look at this one. "Be happy about it. Be happy if you follow me and you're persecuted, because your reward is great and it awaits you in heaven." Look at this verse. Matthew 5:27. There's a set of sayings, and Brent's going to do a great job walking us through this next week, where he says, "You've been told, you've heard this said, you've read, you've experienced this. This is your understanding." But notice this. "But I say," who says? Jesus says. It's going to center on Jesus. And anyone at the end, Luke's going to take us through this passage, where he says, "You know what? You can build your house on the rock or you can build your house in the sand. And who's going to be the people that builds their house on the rock? Well, it's going to be anyone who listens to whose teachings? My teachings." Jesus is saying in this sermon that he is the center of going through the good life. And he's saying this about his own words. Look at this quote. "The good life can be yours when the words of Jesus become more important to you than any other words." The words of Jesus. We're going to spend the next 5 weeks on red letter words. And in the Bible, any version you have, it'll put the words of Jesus in red letters to get them to stand out. We're going to spend the entirety on Jesus' words. And let me say this to you. This is a prayer that God kind of nudged me to start praying a few years ago. And I try to pray this every morning. And I've prayed it often with people. And the prayer is this: "God, I'm hearing a lot of voices. Let your words be the loudest voice that I hear." And for the next few weeks, I would tell you, let's just agree that Jesus' words should be the loudest words that we hear. So he's saying it centers on Jesus. You say, okay, that kind of makes sense, and I know who he is now and everything else. But then he's going to say something that's really going to be hard. Notice this. Jesus said, the path to the good life. Hey, I'm ready to walk it. It runs counter to our experiences and our understanding. It runs counter to our experiences and our understanding. Listen to me. We have too many kids going. A lot of folks still going on fall break. Talked to Luke about this. Couldn't pull it off. I wanted to have a student be up here at this moment, and I was going to ask them to stand on their head to illustrate how God takes Jesus' teachings, just stand everything on its head. And when I found out I wasn't going to have a student, I thought, who needs a student? I can do it. So I practiced at home. Two bruises and one broken lamp later, I decided I'll just tell you about it, okay? But Jesus' teachings just took everything and turns them on our head. Look at this from the end of the sermon, once they'd listened to it. When Jesus finished Matthew 7, the whole sermon, the crowds were amazed. They said, I've never heard anything like this, because he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of the religious law. Jesus' teaching takes things and turns them on their head. And I found a couple of quotes that I think helps you understand this. Look at this. Modern culture says, blessed are the proud. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Culture says, blessed are the pitiless. Jesus says, blessed are the merciful. Culture says, blessed are the devious. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. Culture says, blessed are those who fight. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. Culture says, blessed are the prosecutors. Jesus says, blessed are the persecuted. Taking everything the culture teaches and just turning it this way, what you've understood, what you maybe been told, how you were raised, what you've experienced, when you walk through this sermon, it's going to turn it this way. If you've been reading in the Core 52 book, here's what the author says. In the kingdom of God, losers are winners. The dead live. The poor are rich. The way of the cross leads to resurrection. The unfortunate are the most fortunate. And as you walk through the Beatitudes, those eight statements in this next week, as you read through, as we walk through this this passage on the good life, let me say to you, you have to listen to the voice of Jesus, because the other voices in your life are going to say, no, it's not this way, it's this way. No, it's you don't you remember this is the, don't you remember what your dad used to say? Well, your dad may used to say it, but this is the way that Jesus says it. Don't you remember, this is what you've experienced at work? Well, this is your experience at work, but this is how Jesus says the path to the good life goes. Well, don't you realize don't you know what you went through in that marriage? Yes, this is what you went through in that marriage, but this is what Jesus says. And you have to recognize the fact that he's going to stand some things on your head. And let me walk through two or three of those right here. One is this: the path to the good life brings both now and future blessings. When you read through the Beatitudes, you read through the first one and it says, blessed are those poor and recognize their need for God. It says, and the kingdom of heaven is theirs. It says, it's here right now. The next one says, blessed are those that mourn, and they shall be comforted. And the next few go through and say the same thing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then you get to the end, blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There's a sense that there are now blessings and that there are future blessings. Because you got to realize this. You say, okay, I'm going to go home. I'm going to try one of these. I'm going to do it. And you look around and say, well, that didn't pay off. It must not work for me. No, there are some things that the kingdom's doing now. The kingdom is here, but the kingdom is also coming. There are some things that you experience right now. I will tell you this. I want you to hear me online. Those of you at North Campus, I will tell you this. There have been some things in the midst of the turmoil of the last 12 days of this church. I want you to hear this. Where God has shown up and done things. And we praise him for that. There have also been some things to where we've done things and the payoff is, and you have to have faith. And you say, this may be one of the things where it's the shall. It's not right now, the now. And you have to look at that and realize that when you're going through something, when you're hungering for righteousness, and you say, I'm not quite yet filled, you have to realize it says you shall be filled. Believe the words of Jesus. When you're mourning and grieving over something and you say, he promised comfort, but I'm not experiencing that comfort the way I need to right now. He says you will be comforted. Hang on. You got to believe that by faith. When you are being merciful and it isn't seeming to pay off, and you say, well, this must not, that beatitude must be a false one. It's not bad, 7 out of 8, but that one doesn't work. No. Hear me. He says you will receive mercy. You've got to claim it by faith. You've got to believe it. There's a now and there's a future blessing. And then look at this. The path to the good life runs through, not around life's problems. It goes through, not around. Now, that's as contrary to the world as you can be. The world concept is, you know what? If you get enough money, then you don't have to worry about things because you always got enough money. You can just kind of buy your way out of any situation. You can take care of anything. And the path of the good life says, you know what? You may not have as much money as the world says you should, but God will see you through having that. You may say, you know what? The best thing to do is to not have any conflict, not be in a situation where folks are at odds. And God says, I may put you in a situation where folks are at odds, and I may allow you to be a peacemaker in the midst of it, and I'll see you through it. You may say, you know what? I just struggle, and there's all these things in my heart, and I'm trying so hard. And God says, you know what? Even as you're going through this, I will teach you. I will work with you. You can have a pure heart, and you're going to see me if you do. And on it goes, whether it's through pain, whether it's through hunger, whether it's through conflict, whether it's through mistreatment, whether it's through being wronged, whether it's through pandemics, whether it's through whatever, God's promise is not, Jesus prayed it, I'm not taking him out of the world. I'm praying that God keeps them in the world. And what he's doing for us, what he's doing for each of us, is he's helping us because we're going through. And the Beatitudes teach that. And then the third step is this. You got to realize that the path to the good life leads us to becoming more like Jesus. And as you read those 8 statements, it starts with saying, you know what? I'm poor and I need you. I'm poor in spirit. I am needing you, God, today. And then it's natural, it moves to mourning. And that's not mourning about losing somebody in death, although that's a part of it. But the primary is sometimes to get to the good life, you need to feel bad. You feel bad for your own sin. You're not feeling bad about a death. You're feeling bad about a life and what you've done in that life. And you grieve and you mourn and you repent. And then from that, you move to where you become more like Jesus, to where you can be humble and hungry for righteousness and merciful. You can be pure in heart. You can be a peacemaker. You can even handle being persecuted. And when you're on that path of the Beatitudes, and as God is working those things inside of each one of us, then we're becoming truly followers of him, and following Jesus takes us on the path to the good life. So here's what we're going to ask you to do for the next 4 weeks coming up to Thanksgiving time. Here's some next steps for you to look at. First next step is this. You got to start by choosing Jesus. This is not a, well, I think I'll do that while I do this. For some of you, maybe joining us online, some of you in this room, maybe some of you in North Kokomo, wherever you are, you may be hearing this and you're kind of thinking through this thing about Jesus. You're saying, well, he sounds like a good idea. I've heard a lot of other good ideas. It starts by choosing his words, his person, his claims. And even those of you that have followed Jesus for a long time, wherever you are, to start on this path of understanding how to get to the good life, it's like saying, Jesus, your voice louder than any other. Jesus, your words matter more than any other. And I would say this to you as we get ready to close this service in a couple of minutes. You've got to hear me. You may right now, Jesus' words to you may be, come home. And if he's saying that to you, I urge you, go ahead and say yes to him and start on the path to the good life. Second step we're asking you to do, this is for everybody. Ask you to read it all. Matthew 5, 6, and 7, 111 verses. Between now and Thanksgiving, I would urge you, some of you have never done this. You say, well, I read something and then I'm done, or go ahead and read something else. I'm asking you, maybe even set aside your own reading plans or some of the things you're doing. I'm asking you to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as many times as is possible between now and Thanksgiving. For some of you, it's 111 verses, and you may say, I could read that in one sitting. Then you can read it once a day, and you'll find you'll read that passage, what, 30 times over the next 30 days. How cool would that be? Some of you say, I don't quite have that much time. So you do Matthew 5 one day, Matthew 6 the next day, Matthew 7 the next day. Some of you say, I don't even have that much time. If you do Monday through Friday, about 23 verses a day, you'll get through reading it. You'll read it through 4 times. I would tell you, the more times you take a passage of God and just read it, and these are Jesus' words, read it. And each week you come back and we're going to be doing some things with it. So read it all. And then third one is this. There's 8 Beatitudes. For this next week, pick one. How do you pick? You take the Beatitudes, you pray and say, God, I'm going to read them through. And I want you, God, to throw a divine spotlight on one of them. If you'll pray that prayer, God will spotlight one of these for you. Guarantee it. And when he does, then commit to ask God to work that beatitude out in your life. Maybe for you, it's showing mercy. Maybe for you, it's having a pure heart. Maybe you're in a situation and God doesn't need any peacekeepers. He needs peacemakers. And maybe you need to be doing that. Maybe you need to mourn for your own sin, whatever it is. God will help you pick one. You say, I need all of them. That's wonderful, but God will help you pick one to take the next step with at a time. And if you'll do that for the next 4 weeks, if you'll take and choose Jesus and read it all and pick one beatitude for God to work in, and then whether it's me or Brent or Luke that steps up walking it through us for the next few weeks, this will be a journey, and we will take steps towards the good life that Jesus offered to us. Let's pray. God, thank you for Jesus and for the fact his words can be clear and relate to us today. God, help us. Help us to choose Jesus, to make him the priority. Help us to read it all. God, some of us have never read an entire sermon. Help us to read it, maybe even more than once. God, help us to pick one of the Beatitudes. You do the choosing, Lord, but help us to see your choice. and live it out. And God, what would you do in our church? What would you do in our lives if we could simply live out the words of Jesus? So we ask for your help in doing this. We ask you to speak most clearly to the heart that needs to say yes to you. And God, if they've said yes to you, I pray the breath of heaven and encouragement would blow through their hearts right now. So God, thank you for this journey we're going to be on. Help us to get closer to the good life when we get to the end of it. We pray in Jesus' name.